Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Thing I Love Most Show with myself, Noel Barbon. This evening, we are still, I think, very much still just buzzing from Sunday's result. It's only myself and Lee Curtin today. We have a few others that are calling in sick and just being boring and talking about things being peak, or I'm not sure what that means. But Manic Monday is obviously all around, so Don and Kofi can't join us, and Tim is also not available. So it's just me and Lee, but we will obviously attempt to dissect the game as per usual, and we also look forward to the Lightspeed game as well on Wednesday. So Lee, I mean, that was... We keep on having mental games. The City game was mental for all sorts of different reasons, but that game, I can't remember a game where we had so many good chances. Like, I'm talking like Dele Alli alone had about five one-on-ones, or not one-on-ones. There was the Davies pullback, then there was the other pullback, so that was two. Then he had the one-on-one in the first half. Then he had a one-on-one in the second half. So there was, that's four proper good chances. And the header. The header was a little bit harder, I thought, but the one-on-ones, the first one in the first half, he looked like he sort of knew what he was doing more. The second one, he just waited for far too long, and it was like, would you not think that you're not going to get tackled in the Premier League? Like, if you stroll into the box, like, you just, like, you know, it was weird. And then also the two, I mean, he's never been the best finisher, but the two that were just pulled back, they were just pass backs almost. There was no conviction. It was only when Bergwijn hit his shot, you could actually look like that was what it should have been. It was a bit of power to it. So frustrating. And then Son again, obviously he did end up getting two goals, but again, he had a little sort of one-on-one battle with Pepe Reina, which he obviously won in the end. So let's talk about the lineup first of all, because obviously that's what we normally do. So were you surprised to see Eric Dier in there after the fact that he seems to be a little bit out of favour now, and also considering that Ndombele we thought was fit, and also Fernandez definitely looks fit. Lo Celso apparently was coming back from an injury, so that was understandable. Are we hoping the fact that obviously he was playing in maybe an easier game and then going to save Lo Celso or save Ndombele or save Fernandez for Wednesday against Leipzig? Is that what we should hope to think in this lineup, and also maybe your favourite Serge Aurier as well, which we'll come on to shortly.
I think we definitely picked a side looking forward to the Leipzig game, and that's probably why Dier did start. And when you talk about the other options there, Ndombele would be the kind of obvious one for me to kind of slide in there. Or I suppose Lo Celso, but in terms of adding a little bit of a defensive steal, he's gone with Dier, and probably save Lo Celso so that he can start against Leipzig. And Ndom didn't even kind of get on in the end, really. So he's probably still a little bit away from where he needs to be. I think Fernandez is a slightly different option in terms of he would attack more and carry the ball forward a bit more, and probably be 10 yards in front of Winks. So I thought that was quite obvious. And I think we said before the game, when you looked at the bench, I know it wasn't absolutely packed, but you looked at the bench and seen three very obvious subs if we were struggling, which is always quite nice to see. So, we made hard work of it. But I wasn't overly disappointed with seeing Dier start. I know he isn't in great form. I know he's struggling. But we're not going to get these guys through these games if we don't play them. And there's going to be bigger games where we're going to need a fit Lo Celso, a fit Ndombele. So you're going to have to start using the squad members. So it wasn't the worst call. It weren't the worst call.
He also did pull out a few like long range passes. He almost put, if Son's touch was better, he might have been in the first half. He did look for that over the top ball, which obviously we want from him because he has got that in his locker. Obviously, like the Alli goal against Chelsea a couple of years, but you know he can do it. It's just frustrating that when he does just keep on playing it back, and he does seem to sort of like just keep on trying to sort of, you know, save possession as opposed to.
He's clearly low on confidence, isn't he? His short game is what's suffering, because like I say, he's got the ability to knock a decent 20-30 yard pass. his short game is the one that's struggling. He doesn't look so assured with his first touch, and his passing over 10 yards looks worse than his passing over 25, 30. So his short game is suffering. He's low on confidence. Probably just need something to break for him, just need something to go for him. But it's hard. I looked online after the game, and I got involved in a ratings, a man of the match ratings, let's say. And I just said to I put my 10 pence worth in. I said I thought it was Winks for me. And there's loads of responses where people thought it was Sonny, and then other people thought it was Bergwijn, and which was all very well. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. And however, you do get the absolute nugget from Antarctica, and they post up stupid comments, and there's people arguing that Winks wasn't worth, he wasn't very good. But I think again, Winks and Dyer and Winks and the Chelsea and Winks and whoever sit in there, the way we play, and like I said, you move on to Aurier, and the way Aurier plays has been asked to play, these guys are covering a part of the field more often than the part of the field they should be covering. They're doing a lot more running than they've originally done. They're not quite used to it. And this is something that we are learning to, and we're getting better, but it looks like the players are learning to adapt to it bit by bit as well. But they can't just sit in the middle and ping a ball around like we want them to. We see it on paper and go, he just needs to sit there. He just needs to ping a, Winks is doing these shuttle runs to the right back position and back into the middle again. And then Eric hasn't got that sort of fitness. So that's a big ask for him as well. So our formation's asking a little bit more of these two guys in the middle, whoever they are, than we normally used to seeing, especially under Pochettino's days. So I think people need to keep that in mind a little bit.
I thought Winks was, again, very, very good. Now, he was getting back. He's almost like when you do have that type of player in that type of position, a lot of the donkey work just goes sort of unseen almost. And so you don't necessarily get the Man of the Match awards because all he's done is track back and like got a foot in many, many times, and kept it simple. And he has driven us forward. So, yeah, I can see, but that's fine. He's not there for the accolades. He's there to, help us win, which is what he did. So moving on to the right back position, are we hoping with all our prayers and might that because Aurier started today, that Tanganga is going to start on Wednesday? Because once again, and I know this again is dividing opinion, it seems, online with regards to Aurier, apart from one very, very important interception in the second half when he got back for the first time all game. When he got back and he did block off the attacker, which was fantastic. I thought his crossing was terrible. He never beat the first man when he was put into really good positions. There was that one time where he did get put in the Bella Chelsea and he sort of just hit it off Reina, and then I think Son had the shot at the end, or Bergwijn had the shot at the end. So frustrating for me though, because like he has got a good cross on him, but he doesn't seem to be showing it, and he's definitely not taking any man onto the byline. Davies was equally as defensive, so that's fair enough. But I just felt that it was that little sort of inside pass to Moura that was very, very obvious, and it got picked off the top a couple of times. He got shrugged off the ball a bit a couple of times, and also he's just not like for the chance which they should have scored, the chance that Luiz missed when Grealish skinned Alderweireld on the right, which obviously Alderweireld playing right back because he's covering Serge. Serge is literally just strolling back, back to the penalty area. And I'm just like, I just don't understand how. And people that listen to this, they're probably saying that you could listen to this like the last flipping, I don't know how many months, in terms of like we say the same things, but it becomes a problem when things like that are happening. And obviously that goal didn't go in and we won the game, so fair play. But, you just look at Tanganga as a player. He looks an absolute beast. He's strong on the ball. He's confident on the ball. He can spot a pass. And that run he did against Liverpool in the final minute, Middlesbrough, I can't remember which one game it was. That just shows the kind of player that he is. And so the fact that Serge Aurier is in his place at the moment, I just find mystifying. And it was similar with Poch. Poch sometimes played him over KWP and like all this kind of stuff before. So it's not like we not experienced it before, but I just feel that he almost cost us the game, I think. And that might sound like I'm being over the top. I think Tanganga would have offered so much more. Defensively, both teams were shocking. Defensively, Villa were there for the taking. Like, we should have won 8-3 or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It was a mad, mad game. Both defences were equally bad. But every time we attacked, we looked like we were going to get in behind them. So all we needed was a bit of solidity on that right-hand side, and also just a bit more creativity, because we were having a lot of ball over there and it just didn't happen. So do you think Tanganga's going to play on Wednesday? Like, he seems to rate him, but maybe just not as much as we would like.
Yeah, you'd like to think so, but I can't see it for the life of me. I'd love it if he did. I'd love it if he started. And you're right to point out, and people will listen. They go, oh, you know, it's the Aurier bashing again, and it sounds like the last 3 weeks or the last three pods. Or what I will say is, he's put in a position which is the right back role, but he's higher up the pitch, which is why everybody was happy to see Ben Davies come back into the team, because he's used to playing left back or left of a three for Wales. So it enables us to swing the pitch around, if you like, and Davies comes in, acts as a centre-half, Sanchez acts as the other centre-half, and then Toby goes out and acts as the right-back, which is all very well if Aurier is then trying to get back. But when the ball goes past it, he doesn't try to get back. And I think that's what we find infuriating, and I think that's what we find frustrating. And you're right to point out that when Tanganga's played against Borough and against Liverpool, he's made a few good runs and taken their player down to the touchline and won us a couple of corners and put in a couple of decent crosses that could have resulted in goals. So he's obviously got the ability. He's obviously got the temperament. He's got the hunger. And he will bust his balls to get back. I don't think he would stand on the halfway line.
He's got to bust his balls to get back.
So for me, Tanganga is already a better option than Aurier. And there is a lot of people, like you point out, that he divides opinion. Well, he divides opinion based on the ability that he's got great assists and he's great at crossing. Well, when you go and have a game like you did yesterday, you brought nothing to the party. And you're right, his contribution was a big one, but it's one that I would expect you to do in your position. And that is cover round when, you know, your left-sided, the left side of your pitch is halfway up the pitch like it is, and you get caught out. So, yeah, he made an important tackle, but let's not overlook the fact that he's there to whack, like, whip in crosses and you know, put four or five assists in a game. Because yesterday, he was appalling. He was nowhere near it. So I would like to see Tanganga, and I think he's got the temperament. I think after watching him against Liverpool, and I watched him in pre-season against Bayern and Juve, and I know they're friendlies, but he actually played up against their top boys in each half. And he's got the temperament. He looks like a cool, calm, collected kid. And if he's to make an error, I'm pretty sure we could live with a Tanganga error a little bit more than an Aurier error. That's where we are at the moment, I feel. A little bit like Harry Kane when he come onto the scene. You know, people prepare to, if he missed a sitter, you'd overlook it a bit more than a Soldado missing a sitter. You know, and that's where we are. And that gives those players the confidence to push on. So I don't think it'd be the worst move, but I don't think we'll see it.
What did you think of Davies' performance? Because I was really pleased, actually. I thought he was solid. I think the first goal, if we should really talk about that, was frustrating because he did that classic mistake of getting too tight to the defender. So then when he got turned, he didn't have enough pace to get back. And that was his area. But before we talk about Lloris and Alderweireld, whoever was to blame on that one, that was Davies' error. Yeah. I'm sure we'll hold his hands up to that. But then afterwards, I mean, for the rest of the game, he was fantastic. He made a couple of really, really important blocks. Obviously, one of them was for the Luis chance. But he was solid. He was solid. And I think that definitely calmed the rest of the defence down. So talking about the goal that we conceded after the Davies mistake, how much of where are we attributing blame here if we're talking about percentage? Because Luis comes out a little bit, then he goes back. But then it is Alderweireld's ball to clear at that moment and he makes a hash of it. So where are you putting the blame? Where are you attributing blame?
They got to share that one out, mate. They've got to share that one out. Because it's an all or nothing one for me. The ball the ball shouldn't bounce in your 6 yard box. It shouldn't bounce in your 6 yard. Your keeper's got to be coming again.
It did get a bit of a deflection though, so it's a bit of a, it was a bit more curly and spinny than I think he maybe realised, and it maybe had a bit more top spin, so it looked worse when it did bounce.
Yeah, but I think if Hugo just commits and carries on, he gets in amongst it, and if he clears out Toby in the process, then so be it.
And he seems hesitant. He seems hesitant this season, or since he's been back, because there was that other one against City, I think it was, or maybe a Southampton, where it was like, yeah, it was Southampton actually in the cup replay, yeah, when it was like he let it go so far close, and then Ings hit the bar, and it was like, what are you doing? Like, you have to command your area, and he's known for that, but he just seems to, I don't know what it is. Like,
I feel like he's been rewired during the break, because he's not coming for some that he should, and then he's coming for some that he shouldn't. I mean, he went through that a 90-second spell there where he was like actually like out just like swatting flies. He was trying to punch everything and anything. They kept shooting these crosses, and he was going for them, and I'm like, you probably don't need to be going for those ones. But he seems to have it the wrong way around at the moment, but maybe that's just readjusting and getting back up to speed.
He hasn't done the Gazzaniga karate kick though, so we've got to be thankful for that.
Got to be very thankful for that, yeah.
That was messy. So obviously the second goal that we conceded, again, frustrating set pieces, like, you know, it's I don't know, because you would have thought that Alderweireld does sort of command the area a bit, but I think he mentioned that he didn't have any sleep. Obviously, congratulations to him and his missus on the birth of his son, which was like, I think, the day before. So he travelled up 8 hours. He didn't have any sleep. So, you know, to even put in a performance like that and to finish that he did, that was like a real, real, real sign of quality. So props to Toby for that one. But normally you would have felt that we would have been a little bit more commanding, but we just seem to be struggling at the moment. And is it because Vertonghen's not playing? I don't know. Is he more of a leader in that box? Is Sanchez less so? Or what? Kane is normally good from set pieces defensively as well, randomly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we do miss Kane in there in set pieces. Yeah, we seem so flat-footed at the moment. We seem so flat-footed. And, you know, I think I made a comment, like, within the group. I thought, like, Sanchez was wearing, like, Adidas cements. You know, he's so heavy-footed. You get matched up with a player. Your gaffer calls it before the game and say, right, this is your player, this is your player, this is your player. If you're not doing zonal marking, and we don't appear to be doing zonal marking, we look like we're matching up. And if you can't beat them in the air, you've got to unbalance them. You've got to get the run on them. You've got to meet them halfway in the jump and unbalance them. And we didn't do any of that. We got out-jumped. You know, we got moved out of the way. We got pushed about. And we just don't look like we're up for a challenge defensively. And it's a little bit of a worry, really. So I'd like to see us kind of rectify that. I'd like to see a bit of a pep in their step, if you like, because it seems to be every game. And Villa picked up on that very quickly, you know. And it seems to be a lot of teams doing it. They seem to go, let's hit them on set pieces and let's hit them down the right side of the pitch. You know, so it was good to have Davies back. But you're right, he did get done on there, you know, he did get done and was never going to make it back. He's, you know, he also wears one of these Tottenham Nike parachutes that the defence often wear.
He didn't really attack, to be fair, apart from the one chance he created for Ali. He didn't really get forward that much. That was fine. I was happy with that because, you know.
I was happy with his performance, yeah. I just feel defensively we need to be a bit sharper. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they're still coming to terms with this shape of having Aurier 20 yards further up on the other side. And if that's the case, then maybe we're not mobile enough to be moving players across and getting there. But we're flat-footed. We're constantly flat-footed. And Tanganga is the only one who looks double lively. You know, he's the only one who's on his toes constantly. And he wasn't there and it showed. But, yeah, we need to tidy that up because it's a bit of a problem. And I feel like we've been targeted for it. And the fact that we have Aurier and Winks giving away stupid free kicks at times in silly areas, teams will just keep targeting us. So we need to be wise to that.
I think also we need to give props to Sonny because it was very, very late in the game. He did still have his wheels on. He did really, really sprint away. Obviously, it was a shocking error from Engels, so he's managed to get in there. But it was still a hard finish to do from that tight angle. And I thought he just handled the pressure really, really well and sent our fans into rapture. So if you were there, then I'm glad that you had such an amazing time. It was real, real limbs. Real limbs, you could see there. It was incredible. And so, yeah, I mean, he didn't have the best of games again. I thought his touch seems to, again, be off. His first touch is not great, but he's still, I mean, his goal scoring is incredible. And he's definitely stepped up in terms of stats-wise since Kane's been away, but I still don't think he's anywhere near his best. He seems to not have that turn of pace that he used to, or that he obviously had. I don't know. It just may be tired. Maybe it's mental fatigue. I don't know what it is. But to still run away from the defender and still slot it away past Reynolds, I thought was really, really good. And I think, yeah, it should be noted. So the Champions League now returns this week on Wednesday. Very excited to host Leipzig, RB Leipzig. Difficult because obviously, I mean, I don't know you, Lee, but I don't watch that much German football. I'm aware that they are a very good team. I'm aware that they are close to the top of their league. And obviously they're scoring goals for fun, it would seem, especially at home. Sort of players-wise, I think the only guy that I really know is Timo Werner, the striker, the young striker. But they seem to be pretty consistent. Do you know much about them?
No, not too much. Pretty much the same as yourself. Just kind of keeping up to speed through the news, really. And they seem to have a few players that are being much sought after come the transfer window. Obviously, Timo Werner's one that everybody's kind of aware of. But when I had a look through their squad, they kind of got they got the lad Angelino on loan from City. They got Ethan Ampadu from Chelsea. And Lookman from Everton. And then they got a few of their own youngsters as well. So they seem to be quite a young and energetic side. And yeah, you're right, point out, second in the Bundesliga, 1 point behind Bayern. And they'll pose a little bit of a threat because they seem to be pretty much free scoring. So yeah, kind of fame. Well, probably mirror ourselves, really. So they score a few goals, but just recently they're kind of letting in a couple as well. So it makes for a decent game, I'd imagine.
Apparently they're losing. They haven't. There's quite a few of their main centre backs are out as well. So that is hopefully going to be decent for us. But I mean, we just need to be more clinical than we were on Sunday. If that's going to be the case, if we are going to have chances against them, we have to put them away. I just still can't believe we missed so many. So in terms of lineup, what do you think he's going to go with? Do you think he's going to stick with Davies at left back and try and keep it solid? And obviously, probably he's going to go similar to the lineup against Villa, I would say, with maybe the only exception probably being Lo Celso for Dier. Yeah, because I don't think Lamela's back fit that bit. And obviously, as we said, Fernandes is a slightly different option. So I can see him probably going with the same team. We didn't actually mention in our Villa catch-up about Bergwijn's performance, because I thought he was really, really good. I thought he offered us something different on the left. He offered us pace. Obviously, he won the pen. And he had a couple of good strikes. And he just looks, for someone who's only been in the Premier League for, like, you know, a couple of games, and only been with the team for like a couple of weeks, I think he settled in so well. Like, sometimes it can take like a long, long time. And I think the Dutch league sometimes can be difficult in that respect because it is a lower standard. Obviously, Jansen never found his feet or his shooting boots anyway. So it's like, I'm really, really impressed with him. I think he looks absolute class. Like, I think he's a real, real find. And so I'm absolutely buzzing about him at the club at the moment. So, and I think he's going to be a real danger on Wednesday.
Yeah, I agree with that. Actually, I was thinking about it after the Villa game, and I think what sprung to mind was how natural he looks. It doesn't look like a new signing. It doesn't look like we're trying to like overly accommodate him or, you know, play to his strengths or try and set him up for goals. You know, he looks like he's been with us, and he looks like he's been with us since the start of the season, and that is a real bonus. And like you said, he's settled in. I don't think we're asking him to do anything that he hasn't done at PSV. You know, he's clearly comfortable left or right, and filling in as the number nine if need be. So, you know, that gives us great options when we're playing around with the other team's defence. When you've got Sonny up there as the number nine, and then he drops off left, and then Bergwijn goes in as the nine. And then I think Dele even went in as the nine at one point. And so you had Bergwijn, Sonny and Lucas. It's given us great options and great mobility. And like I say, we're only going to benefit because he's only going to get fitter. He's obviously found the pace is a little bit livelier. But, you know, he looks like he's working on that. He pulled up with cramp against City, but I think probably the last 10% of fitness went when he went off on his run for his celebratory goal. so he managed to get himself 92, 93 minutes against Villa. So he's obviously working on it. It's obviously coming to fruition. So yeah, he's going to be a big plus. I'm really happy with him. Definitely happy with him. So he brings us European experience as well. I know he's young, but you know he brings us that experience. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him on the European stage. I think we line up as you say. I think Lo Celso for Dier will be the only swap. And yeah, I kind of listening in on one of Jose's interviews after the game, and they're talking about Sonny and how many chances he's missed. And he kind of referred to Sonny and Lucas, you know, not having a rest.
I did tell you that.
It looks like they're the sort of guys, they're his go-to guys in Kane's absence. So he's going to keep pushing them and pushing them. And they're making great runs. You know, they are making great runs and they're getting great chances. A bit frustrating when Lucas runs down the dead alley, the dead end sometimes, and you'd just like to see them lay it off a little bit more. And I think that's where we do miss Harry, because they do make those runs and he forms a good wall. And I think we do miss that one striker who can just give it to him and he'll give it back to you. But they're working hard, and I think somebody will take a bit of a pasting, you know, because those chances, you know, right, as you point out, four or five for Dele, another two or three for Sonny the other day, Bergwijn strike. Somebody's due to hold five or six at the best from us very shortly. So I can't see it being on Wednesday, although it'd be amazing. But long as defensively we stay switched on, I think we can cause them a little bit going the other way. So should be good.
Definitely. Okay, so what are we going to go for predictions then? Let's hear it.
It's Tottenham, isn't it? Tottenham. Let's go.
You just realised that we've been doing the podcast for a couple of years now.
Yeah, let's go all out. Let's go 3-2 again.
Three flipping out. I swear to God, we're going to have real serious heart conditions at the end of the season if we continue so.
I'd love to say, you know, 2-1, keep it nice and tight. But they score goals, we can score goals, and yeah, I think we're just going to have a little go at them, and I think we're just going to shade it. I think we're just going to come out on top.
You don't think he's going to try and go cagey, because he did almost against City in terms of sit back and not go for it, and then try and maybe get the away goals. I mean, that's what Pochettino was guilty of in sort of some of those games. I mean, obviously we did do well against Dortmund and Madrid, but they were. Even in the Dortmund and Madrid games in the Champions League against them, we sat back so much. We basically hit them on the break. We were basically the away team almost. So that could be a tactic, because I think we're a better team on the break, personally. That's, I think, where our strengths lie with the pace that we got up front.
We're a very good team on the break, except for defensively, we're an absolute heart attack waiting to happen. You know, you sit there going, we just don't look comfortable. If we was a bit more assured at the back, we would be absolutely deadly on the break. We'd be a horrible team to play against, because we've got four players up top now that are breaking with great pace, and have the ability to take you on a one-on-one. Putting it in the back of the net on a one-on-one is the next stage. But making those chances is easy for us at the moment. But you know, if it's dropping the surge, and if it's popping over, you know, between Davis and Toby, you've got to get done for pace down that side. And if you go down Serge's side, you're going to get upended and in a silly position. So we do have our own fragilities that people are going to look at. So, you know, we just need to be mindful of that. But I think if we can control the ball a little bit better, in our own third with a little bit more comfort and a bit more confidence, then we'll definitely be a threat to teams.
Do you think 3-2, and you think it's just going to go similar formation to Sunday, 4-4-2 or whatever it was? I mean, it was sort of like 4-2-3-1.
I think we'll go the same. Maybe we won't be so obvious in our attacking, in our attacking threats from the get go. So we might try and soak it up a little bit and then hit them. But yeah, I'm probably going to edge towards that.
Okay. All right. I don't know what to say. I keep on saying 2-1 and it just sounds weird, but man, I haven't seen them enough to even comment properly, to be fair. Like, I just don't know. They look like they do score goals. We look like we're conceding goals. We can score goals. Oh, God, flipping out. 2-2? I don't know. Are we going to win? 3-2? I have no idea. But it's going to be a good game. And hopefully the atmosphere is going to be pumping. And I'm really looking forward to it. So, yeah, fingers crossed. So it's not just Champions League this week. We've got a very, very, very big game at Stamford Bridge on Saturday lunchtime as well. They annoy me. They really annoy me. They're not in the best of form. Obviously, the stat that was being banded around after the Villa game was that in the past 13 games since Mourinho's taken over, we have as many points as everyone else, including Manchester City, apart from Liverpool. So I think we were on 26 points. And then Chelsea were a few further back, Leicester a few further back. So we've been in good form. Chelsea haven't been in the best form. They're playing as we speak, actually, but we're not going to talk about the score. So what do you think is going to happen? Do you think there's going to be any form of Champions League hangover? Do you think there's going to be any selection changes? And do you think we're going to go there and we're just going to really, really put it to them? Or do you think we're going to try and sit back again?
I think this game it really intrigues me, just purely based on it's Mourinho again against Lampard, and it's, I think, probably his first game bar the Middlesbrough game where he's going to go back and pit his wits against somebody. So obviously they got the better of us at our place. So I'm really intrigued to see how Jose approaches this one. How do we go about it? I think very similar, but I think we'll just be a little bit more wise and clever to the way that they got behind us. So when we talk about changes, I could see Tanganga in for this game as opposed to the midweek one, because I think if he really studied the game and our coaching staff were really clued up, you would see that they fully exposed Serge on that side of the pitch and got, you know, that's where the goals came from pretty much. So I would probably slip Tanganga back in there. And if Lo Celso's got another 90 in him after the week, and providing all goes well, I would go with Winks and Lo Celso in the middle, with a view to bring in Endom on if he's a little bit fitter, should the game go that way. But our strength lies in the front four, as we've already alluded to earlier. So it's what we do at the back. So, yeah, I think we're going to sit a little bit deeper this time. And we will try and bring them onto us and expose them at the back, because they're there to be got at defensively. They're definitely there to be got at defensively.
They made a lot of changes tonight, actually, as well. Batshuayi started up front. I think Mount's been dropped. I'm not sure, but it just seems that there's quite a few changes. So I think he's struggling to know his sort of best team at the moment. So I think it's a good time to play them. I think it's definitely a good time to play them. Whether we will have enough, it will be interesting to see. But I think, you know, it's a massive game. And, you know, you just think about that, the two extra points that we got on Sunday now, they just look, so it's just such a massive moment, I think, in our season, that one. It really, really was. It gives us a bit of confidence moving into the games coming up. But also, it's just those extra 2 points. So in theory, we could even draw the game and we could still quite easily get that fourth place. And obviously we need to mention the whole Man City verdict or Man City suspension from the Champions League for the next 2 seasons. We do think that it's we do think they're likely to appeal, and we do think that might change. It possibly might get reduced to maybe a year or even less. I really hope it doesn't, but that has changed things somewhat, because we now know that there's going to be potentially another space available or further down the league. So it has changed things. But I still think I'd be happy with the draw going there personally, as long as we don't lose, as long as we don't give them an extra 3 points cushion between us, then I'm more than happy to draw there and leave it. Obviously, I'd love the 3 points to go ahead of them. It would be amazing. But yeah, I think it's a massive result, a massive game for us.
Agreed. And I we just can't lose. I don't think we can go there and lose. And we've got to stay in the mix, and we've got to chase the fourth place down. Leicester have got off the boil as well. I know they've got a little bit of a gap, but it is with the fifth place possibly opening up, it opens up the door to a few more teams, and there's more people switched on now because they fancy their chances. Something that was probably not, you know, so achievable is now potentially within their grasp. So I think we've got to chase fourth as it is, and I think we've got to probably eye up third as the target, with fourth being the net of the safety net. But yeah, it, like you say, if all goes well and goes our way, come next Monday, we could be sitting in fourth. We could be sitting in the driving seat.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
So yeah, that's how we need to approach it for sure.
So predictions for the Chelsea game then?
Yeah, just because it's them and we don't have the most amazing record, I'm going to go for 2-2.
2-2, okay, all right.
Fair enough. And Dele's sitting on his number 49. He's trying to get this 50th Premier League goal. Yeah, he loves cleaning out the shed on a Sunday. So
he had enough chances on Sunday.
Yeah, well, he'll saving it for his clearing out the shed weekend.
He does like scoring against these lot.
So I fancy him to hit his 50th this weekend as well against them.
Fingers crossed. I'm going to go for 1-1. I think 1-1. I don't think they're that good going forward at the moment. So I don't think they're going to cause us that many problems, but obviously we could cause ourselves problems. So fingers crossed that would be the case. So yeah, I think 1-1. Nice one. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lee. That's the end of the show. Have you enjoyed it? Just being us two, has it been okay?
Has it been
weird not having Don or Kofi or Kev or Tim or Lee there with you?
No, it's been all right. You get to hear me voice a bit more. I know everybody loves that. But before we finish up, we do need to shout out a big shout out to Sonny, first Asian player to hit 50 goals in the Premier League, and swiftly moved on to 51 as well. So big shout out to Sonny for that achievement.
Hope he's going to stay with us and get to 100. That would be amazing. He would be amazing. Yeah. He's become invaluable to us, and 100%. 100% deserves that shout out. Okay, thank you, Lee. All right, well, fingers crossed, it's another massive week for us, as they all seem to be at the moment, and we can really put ourselves in a good position in the Champions League first leg, and then also we can hopefully get a result at Stamford Bridge on Saturday. So fingers crossed, everybody. For those of you that were at Villa Park, hope you guys are still elated, still buzzing, still high. And I'm sure those limbs are still hurting from getting chucked around. It looked amazing. So well done if you were up there. And fingers crossed for another fantastic week. Cheers, Lee. We'll speak to you next week, hopefully with more people to talk to. But if it's just me and you, then that's what it's going to have to be. Enjoy your week, everybody. And we'll speak to you next week. All the best.